thought about it. When we think about the Lord's Supper, we have a call to remembrance. We commemorate it. We anticipate it because we know Christ is coming back. And the third part, we participate in it. It's a congregational act by which we affirm our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all we're doing today. Exactly what we're doing. But we do it together, just like as close as we can. But there's a time of self-examination in there. So let's dig into the scriptures a little bit. And I got a little history lesson I wanted to share with you. So if we go to 1 Corinthians 11, pick it up in 23 right there. And I want you to notice that Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He intentionally chose to establish the Lord's Supper during the celebration of the Passover. The Passover was instituted by God to be a memorial of his deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as a memorial of the deliverance from sin he would give to those who trust in him. And as we move over to, don't change your Bible, just stay with me, I'm talking right now. But as we get to the Lord's Supper, you'll see that my scriptures come out of Matthew 26, where I read the words in red. So stay with me here, but we're going to look at Paul's account is what we're looking at. That's where I want y'all to pick up in 23 right there. Look at what he says. Let's go 23 through 25. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, each and every person in this room today, God, in your house, Lord, we're imperfect. And God, we seek you, who we know is perfect. God, we want to bring it all to the table today, dear God. I pray, Lord, that there's not a single person left in here who is not right with you before they walk out this door today. That, God, this is the time. This is the time you have called us to the table to make our hearts right, Father God. To, Lord, to set our sights, Father God, on something new, dear Lord, which is you. God, I'm sure there's a lot of hurting hearts in here this morning. And Lord, may we all just over the next few minutes here, Father, bring it all to the table and put our focus on you. God, be with me. I pray, God, that you give me your words and not my own. That, God, there's a group in here today, Father. And Lord, I'm already feeling that somebody needs to come to the table. Dear God, I don't know who it is, Father God, but you do. I ask, Lord, that you will be with us, Father God, that, Lord, that we might say, God, that you'll give me the right words. Lord, you'll give me your words, Father God, and not my own. Lord, be with us, Father God. Lord, as we are your people, Father, as we keep our eyes on you, as we live in a fallen, fallen world, Father God, we remember what you did, Father. We anticipate, Father, you coming back. And God, we participate, Father God, in the life you've led us in right now, the where we're at in our current situations, God. May we be that shining light for you, Lord Jesus. May Father God, just like the word says, don't let us hide it under the table, God, but let it shine before other men and women. Let them see that light, dear God. Each and every one of us in here, Father God, has the ability to do just that But we have to step out, Father God. You call us, dear God, to step out. Be your hands and feet. Lord, you tell us it will never be easy, Father God, but we are to pick up that cross daily and follow you. God, help us to do just that, dear God, to take up thy cross daily and follow you. God, be with us over these next few minutes, Father God, as we bring you honor and glory in all that we say and all that we do. Thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus. He was a sacrifice for my sins, dear God, and is each and every person in here too. Lord, be with us, Father. May we keep our eyes on you. It is in your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. As we look at this today, the bread and the cup remind us of the one-time sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. And we partake to remember what he did on our behalf. But we, in order to get the entire story of the Passover, we've got to back up all the way to Exodus 12. And no, don't even. Just stay with me on Corinthians. We're not going to go there. I'm not going to quote it scripture for scripture. But I found something by another pastor that had gotten 8 points that I wanted to share with you today. And it was a Lord's Supper, but I thought this was so good, and I had never done this before, and I thought this would be perfect. And God was leading me, and I was finding this stuff because Trey's right when he sang that song. It couldn't have been more perfect because he calls us to come to the table. And I think that each and every one of us, I know there's people in here today that need to come to the table is what they need to do. And they need to say, God, I'm not perfect, or God, I don't have it figured out, or God, I'm a sinner and I failed, or I've never accepted Christ. I'm not sure if I can walk out of here tomorrow where I'm going to go. There's a doubt in my mind. There's a question mark in my head. That's what we want to take care of today, because we are all God's children. Amen? That's exactly what we are. We're not perfect. None of us are. We're God's children. But look at what he says. Y'all got to... I've been sick this week too. I think it's the pollen. But what we're about to do today, to observe an event that is over 2,000 years old, but to get to that further event, we've got to go back about 3,000 years old. We got to go back about 3,000 years. And we're going to go back to the land of Egypt to an event known as the Jewish nation as Passover. This is all taken out of Exodus 12. You can go back and read yourself. It said, God had instructed Moses to go to Pharaoh, who was the leader of the Egyptian nation, and command him to allow the Hebrews, the Jewish people, to leave Egypt so they could return to Canaan, which was the land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. So Pharaoh repeatedly refused Moses' request. He said no every time. He would not let them go. They were his. He would not. In a last-ditch effort to secure the release, Moses told Pharaoh that on a certain date, the firstborn of each family in Egypt would be slain by God's angel of death unless he released his people. There were two ways that this terrible judgment could be avoided right here. Pharaoh could either release the Israelites, or the Egyptians could literally come under Jewish protection. The reason is each Jewish family was to sacrifice a lamb, smear some of the blood on the doorpost of their houses, so when God's angel of death came over, he would see the blood on the doorpost and he would skip over. Many Egyptians died. This was all documented in Exodus 12. You can go back and reread it. Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go, and the angel of death took the lives of many. Pharaoh finally relented and released the Jewish people, and thus was born the Jewish feast, which has become an annual remembrance of Passover. So when we skip forward to where we're going to be in Matthew 26 today, we're going to see that the disciples are preparing for Passover. That's exactly what they're getting ready for. Just to give you a little bit of a biblical sense there of what's going on. So we're just not. It said, In Jesus' day, each Jewish family would bring a lamb to the temple, and after the lamb was slain by the priest, the meat would be cooked for the Passover feast, and his sacrifice reenacted the event that took place in Egypt probably 3,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the Passover feast and gave it a radically different interpretation and showed what its ultimate meaning really was. As you will see today, Jesus was the Passover lamb. There you go. Now we're getting into the what they call the meat and potatoes of it. That's what we're getting into, the heart and soul of God's word. He said the blood on the doorpost was simply a symbol of his blood that covers all sins for those who will receive his forgiveness and therefore his protection. The simple message of the Lord's Supper is this: because of the dying of his body and the shedding of his blood, a holy God can pass over our sins. Amen. He can pass over them. Because we know that we're all sinful. Amen? You got to know that. It's okay. Romans 3:23 tells us we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We're not. Simple. So when Paul, when he says, he goes back to the church of Corinth right there, he's correcting something that is wrong in the church. And we're going to get into that in just a second. The simplest message. That is why today is a day of celebration. We do not come to mourn someone who is dead. We come to celebrate someone who is alive. Alive and well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul gives an account of the Lord's Supper that he said was directly given to him by the risen Lord Jesus. He describes in detail exactly what the Lord's Supper is and how it is to be observed. So when you look at 23 through 25 right there, back on 1 Corinthians 11, you got your history lesson this morning to give you. And go back, and I encourage you, go read Exodus 12. And see exactly, and you can see it all fall into place. And you'll see what Moses did and how God was right there with them. But look, go back to it. He says, the first thing we're doing that Paul says is, hey, Jesus said, do this and remember of me. It is the call to remember, to commemorate, to never forget. Just like Trey said with the World War II. Man, it's almost like me and Trey rehearse this stuff, but we really don't. It's amazing. I don't know what he's going to say, and he don't know what I'm going to say. I don't even know what song he's going to sing, but God knows, and he works it out. Almost, he works it out every Sunday. I couldn't say almost. The next set of scriptures right there, look at what he says for 26. He says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. With the words, I will not drink from the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus anticipated a reunion with his disciples. Likewise, he instructed them to partake in the Lord's Supper in anticipation. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's exactly what we do. We as Baptists, there's no rule to it. We can do it as many times as we want, but we do it quarterly. That's when we observe it. There's no rule or law behind that. There's nothing in the Baptist faith and message that says we do it. That's what a Toggleville Baptist does. In case anybody was wondering, we observe it every quarter, and we're strict on it. We do not like to miss it. We think that God has placed it. It is our time to have the Lord's Supper because it is a call to the table is what it is. You might say I'm crazy. Probably a lot of y'all do. But all I'm telling you is that a lot of times, too, we could step that up and do it more if we wanted to. That's all I'm saying. There's not anything that says that you can only do it this amount of times. You can take the Lord's Supper when you need to, but it is a time for us to come to the table is what it is. It is definitely that time. Therefore, we observe the Lord's Supper in anticipation of Jesus' return and the end time, the consummation of his kingdom. We're looking forward to that time where we'll celebrate with him at his great banquet table. Look at the next set of scriptures right there. So we know that we to commemorate. We know where it is to anticipate. But look at what 27 says right there. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. He says right there, look what he says. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine themselves. Is your walk with Christ what it's supposed to be today? Examine yourselves. Is there somebody in here who needs to accept Christ for the first time? Is there somebody in here who has doubts or questions? But when you come to the table, God asks us all to have that clear heart, to be prepared. Self, what do you think self-examination is? What in your life separates you from God? That's all it is. I think that's pretty simple, right, Benny? I think that's pretty simple. Whatever in your life separates you, what do you think separates you from Christ? That's between you and the Lord. That ain't between me and, you know, be happy to talk with anybody, but that's between you and God. He says, supper, the Lord's Supper is to participate in a congregational act by which we corporately affirm our faith. Celebrate the completed work of Christ. Focus on our unity and visibly proclaim to the world that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Boom. I could wrap it up right there, Brother Benny, but I won't. It is our time to come to the table. When we talk about self-examination, when you think about it too, and let's talk about this for just a second, because I'm going to say, Annie Armstrong, $7,500 goal, when the overall goal of the world is $70 million, $7,500 does not sound like a lot of money to me, okay? You can run the math. There's a whole lot more zeros, if you know what I mean, in the bigger one. But when you think about these eggs and you think about these, all these missionaries who are spreading the word of God on a daily basis in a world that is not safe, they're sent to places, me and you, are the people in here, we're asked to spread it to the just folks around here, right? Oh, that's a lot easier. What if you had to go share with Christ someone who didn't speak the English language? Oh, there's all kinds of roadblocks you got to think of that these missionaries participate in. They need our funds more than ever, I believe, to carry the gospel of Christ all over. That's exactly what it is. When you think about it too, in Paul's discussion of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, he made the point the way we participate matters. Look at 31 right there. Pick it up and hold on, I backed up, y'all. 29, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if you were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way, it is by the Lord. We are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. He says right there in Paul's discussion of the Lord's Supper, he made the point that the way we participate matters. In Corinth, the celebration that was supposed to unify the church actually brought disunity to the church. Because if you look back at 17 right there, 11, 17, and 18, the first words he says is, Paul says, come together as a church. He says it again in 20 right there, come together. So then when you come together, come together, unify. What do you think he's telling them right there? He's telling them exactly what he's saying. Just come together. Because some of them are eating when they're not supposed to. They've got it all messed up. Paul's trying to correct it right there. So then look how he finishes up in 33 and 34. He says, so then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, Paul says, I will give further instructions. Self-examination. What in your life today separates you from Christ? Maybe it's just that simple thing of asking Christ to come in. Because we remember a past event today, we anticipate a future event, and we participate in life between the two, that while God has us here on this earth, which is a temporary life, we are to be his hands and feet. Amen. It's as simple as that. We are to be his hands and feet. You can go back and look at Matthew, and he says, don't put your lamp under the table. Let it shine. One of the toughest things, Anna goes to UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham. That's a tough school, I'm going to be honest with you. Not because it's hard, it's because it's a, I don't know the word I want to say right now. Trey, any idea? Liberal, very good. It's a very liberal college. There's a lot of weird stuff goes on over there. And I've told Anna, I said, well, your faith is strong. You rest on God's word. Anna said yesterday, and I wish she could be in here today. She probably would freeze up. But she came home excited. And she said, I shared Christ today with somebody. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. I said, how did it go? She said, I felt so awkward. I said, well, hold on. If you felt awkward, it might have been because you were doing something right and that was the devil hitting at you. I said, you never know. I said, but another girl joined in and we were able to get our point across. And the girl was just under the impression that she said, you hear this a lot. Well, I believe something's out there, but I just don't know what. I just don't know what. A lot of times when people say stuff like that, a lot of times that means you've grown up in church. To be honest, it does. A lot of times that means that you've just drifted away from the Lord, is what that means. That's being honest. A lot of times God uses situations in our lives to jerk us back into line. Sometimes those situations that jerk us back into line are not pleasant for our lives. And we don't see them, but we might understand years later how God was at work the whole time. And we see it through people being sick. We see it through loved ones gone. Whatever the case may be, our ways are not God's ways. We have to remember that wholeheartedly. That this is something, his ways, not ours. His will, not ours. Period. I know I'm stumbling, Mom. I've been sick all week. But we have a call to remembrance. We have a call to anticipate. We have a call to participate. Trey, I want you to come up. I want to have a hymn of invitation. Kim, can you help me? You help me? Trey, you stay down here with me. You ain't got to go up there. Can you put it on the screen, Kim?
316.
316. Everybody stand up. We're going to come have our Lord's Supper here in just a minute, but I just want to take a time. If somebody needs to come to the table right now before we participate in this Lord's Supper, this will be your time today. This will be your time to come. Come. And if not, John and the deacons will come down and we'll get in our scripture and we'll have our Lord's Supper today, okay? Come to the table. Just give me something up there. It don't matter. We could have Miss Kay play. I'm just feeling led right now. Come to the table. Come now. God's laid something on your heart this morning. A call to commemorate. A call to anticipate. Come now. Thank you. And now I'm going to go ahead and introduce them. I know they're filling out, and there's a lot of emotion up here right now. But when we say come to the table, we mean it. We say come to the table. Come to the table. Man, God's so good. This is Donna and Carrie. Barefoot, right? I always want to say barfoot, barefoot. It's barefoot. Donna and Carrie Barefoot are coming. Both of them have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Both are going to be baptized. We're excited for them. We're excited for them joining. This is Chris's uncle, right? This is uncle and aunt. We're super excited for them. After the service today, we still got to do our Lord's Supper. We're going to ask that everybody will come up and shake their hands on the way to Sunday school, hug their necks, and love them. We come to the table today is what we do. Amen. Amen. You excited as I am? Amen. Come on now. Show some love. Let's go. Go ahead. Brother John, let's everybody be seated. I know we kind of did things a little different today. I'm sorry. I just did as the Lord led. We're going to have Brother John and his deacons come forward. Thank you, Patsy. And we'll, what's your name? Yeah, we can. Oh, no, you're right. Hold on real quick. Before, I almost did it again, Mama. I almost did it again. Before we begin the Lord's Supper at any time in a service, and devil gets on me, and we'll be honest with you, we all need to take a time of self-examination for ourselves. And the only reason I'll do this is when I started at this church, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And I strive to get it right all the time, but I fall short so many. And, you know, the first time we did our Lord's Supper in here, Brother Benny forgot to put the bread in the thing. And that was a little embarrassing. Remember that? And we were all just standing there. And we had to say, time out. He had to go to the back and go get it. And it's somewhere, it was in the oven or something. And then the next time we had done it, I thought, okay, so we can correct. So I made sure we had bread in the plates. But then I skipped over the self-examination part, and my mother called me and got me. And so I said, I'll never let that happen again. So, Brother John, thank you for what you just did, because you just jogged my senses and everything. But what I'd like for us to do at this time, Miss Kay, if you'll play lightly, I'd like for everybody to bow their heads. This is a time of reflection between you and the Lord. This is a time that you pray for your own walk with Christ and what He's doing in your life. It's not the time to pray for anybody else. This is a time to pray for you. Once we do this, we'll take a few minutes and then we'll move into our Lord's Supper.